This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled When We Struggle, Part 1, was delivered on July 18th, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Man, I love you guys. Thank you, worship team. Those songs, man. Yeah, give those songs. They just put your heart in the right place, and I love it. Thank you so much. Hey, I'm going to ask you to be seated, and we're going to continue our service with a baby dedication. Hey, I got one taker for the front row. Hey! So I'm going to ask the family to come up, and we need some strong men to lift Crystal up on stage. Where's all the strong men? I see one strong man. I see two strong men, three strong men. Yeah, I think we're going to need four strong men because we got to lift the chair and all. One. Woo, look at that. Queen Crystal. And don't run away unless you're going to stay up here with me the whole sermon. Yeah. So all the family come up. That's all the family. Where the rest of the family? Yeah? All right. Oh, this is baby Logan. He was born in January. He was like how many months? He was 3 months early. So he is a miracle.
Amen.
Logan, which his name means little warrior. So maybe when he grew up, we can play for the Hawaii Warriors football team.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And this is his brother Lucas, and his dad Ethan, and his mom Crystal, Papa, and I don't like call you Grandma, because some people get offended, yeah? Like my wife doesn't want to be called Grandma, so I call her Grandma. All right, so here at New Hope, we don't baptize children, yeah? We dedicate them as written in the book of Samuel, as you know. Elkanah had two wives, poor thing, and one of them could have kids, Penina, and Hannah couldn't. So she prayed to the Lord for a child and said, if you would give me a child, I would dedicate him to you. So God granted her that request, gave her a child, and the child was Samuel, and she dedicated him to the Lord. So that's what we do. Ready? Yeah. So I'm going to ask you to stretch out your hands with me.
Yeah.
Lord, we just pray for Logan. I know he's a miracle. He was born 3 months early. And he stands here before you today as a testament to your mercy and your grace and your faithfulness. So, Lord, we ask that you would bless him with good health, with happiness, with long life. We pray that he would accept you as his Lord and Savior at a very early age. We pray that you would surround them with good friends. And we pray for Ethan and Crystal. As they raise him, they would discipline him out of love, not out of anger. And Lord, as a family, we will watch out and look out for his best interest whenever we see him around town. So Lord, we dedicate him to you today. We thank you for his life. We thank you for this miracle. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Yay. So now I'm going to ask you guys, can go get yourself some coffee, some fried rice. And then if the family wants to take pictures, they can do that right now. So go ahead and greet one another. We need you to come and carry her down. Mm-hmm. Better. Testing. Okay. All right. Some announcements for you this morning. Hey, if anybody is in need with help with school supplies, can you write it on the tear-off tab, put it in the acrylic bucket, the box at the coffee table, so that we can figure out how we can help you? All right. So if anybody needs a little help with that, let us know. We would be glad to help you in whatever way we can. All right, Jen, we got women's ministry this Saturday right here. Women's ministry meeting this Saturday right here, right after the men's ministry at 5:30 in the morning right here. I heard Chef James is making some patelle stew, so we come not for that, but we come for the fellowship and for the word and the teaching. So we're going to ask you to join us there. Did I have any more announcements? I'm thinking. No, I think we're good. Oh, look, I got a fan. Woo! My first fan ever. All right. Man, God is so good. So and we're going to receive the tithes and offerings. So there's four ways you can give. All right, you can drop your tithes and offering in that acrylic box at the greeting table. If you need an envelope, you can grab some at the greeting table. Or you can text NHHI to 808-793-5588. Follow the prompts. Same thing with the online giving, newhopeeasthawaii.com. It'll take you to the same page to give. Or you can mail it in, which some people still do, which is fine. We still get it. And I gotta say, during the pandemic, your faithfulness has been overwhelming. We get to pay our bills, and we get to save some for our building. And you guys are just so fantastic. And I'm gonna pray over the offering, so would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people who, through this pandemic, continue to give of their tithes and their offerings to advance your kingdom, to continue to disciple people and train people so that we can still put on services, so that we can pay our rent and pay all of our bills. We are grateful for those who are faithful and even those who cannot give but pray for us. So we thank you so much. We ask today that you would bless the tithes, the offerings, that we would be good stewards, that we would use it to grow your kingdom. We thank you so much. In the name of Jesus we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Whew, thank you. I would say, go ahead, ushers, but, you know, in light of all the health things going on, we do not do that. And I'm going to remind all of us that, you know, if you are feeling sick, or you have the slight thought in your mind like, hey, I'm not 100%, I got a little this or a little that, then I would ask that you would stay and watch from home. Is that okay with you? Because we want to stay safe. We don't want to be the cause of the spread of this virus. Amen? Yeah. All right, so this is part one of when we struggle. So I'm going to ask that we begin with prayer, because that's always a good starting point. Amen? So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that in all of our struggles, you are there with us. You help us, you lead us, you guide us. And we pray, anybody here struggling, that they would be able to use this message to help get over and get through whatever it is. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I guess I came up with this message because there was a few weeks in the past month that, man, I was getting attacked left and right. I mean, the phone was ringing, people were texting me, and not just from this church, but from outside the church, and you know, we were battling. I mean, we were in a battle, and you know, if you don't have any battles, any struggles, any problems, check your pulse. Maybe we got to call Doro because they got to pick you up. Yeah? Maybe you don't have any struggles because maybe you're not alive? I mean, we all have them. John 16:33 tells us, these things I've spoken to you so that in me, capital me, see, in me, not me, but in me, meaning Jesus. Oh, good thing, I almost couldn't reach that. Me might get on steps too, I think, over here. In me, in Jesus, in Christ, you may have peace. In the world, that's where we are, in the world. You will have tribulation, you will have trouble, you will have problems, you will have struggles. But take courage, I've overcome the world. And I think, okay, what were these things that Jesus was talking about, you know? These things I have spoken to you. What is these things? And these things refer to Jesus warning them about the persecution that they was going to go through. And he told them where, when, and why he was leaving. And finally, he assured them that they would not be left alone when he left, but the Spirit would come. And, you know, if you look in this whole, in verse 33, these things refer to giving them peace. And when he leaves, he would give us peace, a different kind of peace from the world. I think the world will define peace as like, man, there are no problems. We're at peace because there's no problems. But I believe God's peace is like an assurance that even in our problems, even when we have problems, we will be at peace. Also, the coming of the Holy Spirit, which will convict the world of sin and judgment. So we would be okay because of Jesus. 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, I think you can follow along in your bulletin, beloved, that's us. Okay. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you. How many of you, when you get slammed with problems, like, wow, where did that come from? Don't be surprised. Yeah? Don't be surprised. Which comes upon you for your testing. Okay, it says testing, yeah? Not tempting, it says testing. You know, we go fishing. We tie our hook. What do? We hold the hook in one hand and we pull the line with the other hand. Why do we do that? We test if our knot is good. Because how many times your line comes back after the bite comes off and your line comes back and the end is curly? You know what that means? The line slid off the hook because your knot wasn't good. Right, Jay? How many times that happened to you, James? Zero. Once, because he's good. Okay, I cannot count how many times that happened to me. It's called rushing. You rush, tie your line. First one in the water, first fish. But the first fish comes off and your line comes back curled. So we test. You know, he's testing us. Okay, so we cannot, which comes upon you with your testing as though something strange were happening. So when we get tested, it's like why? We cannot think, like, why is this happening to me? But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ. Okay? So Christ suffered, so we share in it. So here it says, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. Two things that might cause us to suffer, or two things that would bring that upon us, the trials. One is when we follow Jesus Christ, we will suffer. You read about all the prophets, all the disciples, they suffered persecution. Another one is for sin. How many of you done something wrong and then you suffered? Only get some honest people in here. You know, lying is a sin. You guys didn't know that. Yeah. So we follow Christ. The devil doesn't like us. He tempts us. He attacks us. And we also suffer when we do wrong. When we break laws, we get in trouble. We suffer. We do things without praying. We buy something expensive without praying. Anybody? Anybody? Yeah. It's like, I buy something without praying. And like, for example, I buy boots. I like boots. They're comfortable. I love them. And if I buy too much and I cannot put food on the table, I suffer. But not only I, my family suffers. So we do things without praying, you know, and we suffer. We fight with our family members, and we make mountains out of molehills. We blow things up. We don't forgive. We suffer. Maybe we gossip, and it comes back to bite us. Friends, it's not a matter of if we face trials. It's when. And when it comes, what do we do? I mean, do we ignore them and just hope that they go away? I used to like to do that. You know, I was like, okay, this is going to go away. This is going to go away. But in the meantime, between the suffering and the going away, that period in between can be so long, and the suffering can be so great, so tremendous, and it's just agonizing. So I don't wait anymore. I address the problem, and I try to find the solution and get it solved gracefully, peacefully, with love, so that I can move on. So when we are struggling, when we are in storms, when it is caused by our sin, then this is what I say. Number one, we repent. When our troubles, our struggles, our suffering is brought on by our own doing, which is often, yeah, then I need to repent. Acts 3:19 says, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. Repent, return to God, so that we can, our sins can be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come in the presence of the Lord. Now, if my troubles that came upon me were due to my own actions, which often it is, I need to repent. I need to stop, look what I did, and turn, repent, turn directions. I need to learn the lesson and repent. And even if I do that, even if I learn the lessons, I stop, I reflect, I turn, and I repent, doesn't mean that God is going to say, okay, I'm going to wipe away the consequences. No, there's still consequences. Okay, I think if God wiped away the consequences, then we'd go right back and do it again. Buy another 6 pair of boots. Who cares? Yeah, no, I've stopped. I have 6. That's enough. I do not complain about my wife's shoes anymore. I used to. Like, why do you need 6 pairs of shoes? Then why do you need 6 pairs of boots? Well, the black one for every day, the red one when our color is red, right? The gray one for when the color is gray. I need to learn the lesson, repent, and God is, don't expect God to take away the consequence, because there's always going to be consequences. I think the consequences help us to learn. I think a lot of us learn from pain, right? How many of you learn from pain? How many of you learn from, say, don't do that? Some of you smart, you learn, don't touch the stove when it's hot. Oh, okay. But curiosity, like wet paint, right? We're going to touch them. Hello. So the pain, I think the pain helps us to learn the lesson. So we sin, we repent, but God's not going to take away the consequence. we're going to still have to endure that, because I think he wants us to learn the lesson. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. In the book of Nehemiah, you know, if you ever read that book, it's just an incredible, incredible story about this one guy who made such a difference. And if we go further down to Nehemiah 8, starting in verse 1, all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. Sounds like this is like maybe the first ever church service they ever had. On the first day of the seventh month. Oh, this is the seventh month. Yeah. He read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early in the morning till midday. No, we're not going to keep you till midday. All right? In the presence of men, women, those who could understand. And the people were attentive to the book of the law. So he was reading, they were understanding, and they were paying attention. Now, when Ezra read this to the people, they realized one thing. They realized how far they drifted from God. Because the law told them what they needed to do, and the law revealed to them what they needed to do. And then they looked and they said, wow, this is what the law said, but we're like way over here. You ever follow that navigational thing? And after you get lost, then you turn it on. Then you realize like, oh, shoot. I was trying to find a house for a wedding Tuesday. And I looked at the navigational thing and I put it on the side. Then I drove and I was driving up and down the street looking for the house. It was on the other side, across the main road. Once I turned on the thing, the navigational thing. So they realized that they were off. And in chapter 9, verse 1, now on the 24th day, so this was like a couple weeks, maybe a couple, 3 weeks later. That's how long they was going through this law of this month. The sons of Israel assembling with fasting in sackcloth and with dirt upon them. Now, when they say the fasting, the sackcloth, the dirt on their head were signs of sorrow and repentance. You see, after the reading of the law, the people realized their sins and they repented. You know, when the same thing, that's why we ask you to read your Bible. When you read your word and when you understand it, you realize where you are. Hey, Steve, right here, I got two seats. Right here. Oh, look, they're like right away. There you go. He's brave. A man of God. So when they realized this, they repented. They turned. It's just like when Jonah went to preach to the Ninevites, 40 days, they repented and God relented from destroying. So, if our storms, if our trials come because we are following God, we are reading, we are learning, we are growing. Because you know, when you're reading, when you're learning, and when you're growing in the Lord, you know Satan's not going to stand by idly and while, yay, they're learning something new. No, he's going to attack you. And if that happens, number two, rejoice. You know, a lot of people in our church, we were getting attacked. And I was like, man, this is difficult. I'm praying. And then inside, this peace came. Then I was kind of happy. Because I think like, wow, if the devil has enough time to attack our fellowship, that means we must be doing something right. Because if we wasn't, he wasn't attacking us, then I'd be worried. Then I'd be thinking, like, are we on the right track? Romans 5 says this, and not only this, but we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations or trials or struggles bring about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character. You know, it's not prosperity that tests your character. It's the struggles. You notice that? When we got plenty of money and everything is good, our character is not tested. But when we faced with issues and struggles, our character really comes out. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, when I say rejoice, I don't say throw a party, go you who jump up and down and shout. I would silently rejoice, if there's such a thing. When we get attacked on the inside, I'm thanking the Lord, because when we, the body, encounter trials, I understand that God is about to do something great. And we are on the right path. So when we get attacked, do you notice though? When we get attacked, you know, there's a few choices we can make. We can kind of rejoice, draw closer to God, or we can get mad and angry at God and go in the other direction. Remember, that's what Jonah did. He went in the other direction. How many of you ever got attacked and went in the wrong direction? I did. 20 years I was going in the wrong direction. It's a long way back up after I repented. But, yeah. Because if we weren't getting attacked and life was easy and we're just coasting, that means we're going downhill. And the devil wouldn't need to attack us, because he has us exactly where he wants us. Complacent and comfortable. That's why James says this, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. I mean, I've been tested so much that I have some endurance, but I'm not there yet. I'm not even close. That's why I keep getting tested. And let the endurance have its perfect result, or complete result, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, which is really a good place to always be, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, think about it. How could Jesus be thinking that going to the cross could be anything, would be joyful? And Jesus wasn't looking at the cross, but he was looking beyond the cross. He was looking at, it's going to be joyful when Scott Chiroma finally says yes. He was looking to beyond that when you said yes, and that brought him joy. The purpose of reconciling us to God, that is what is being communicated here. And the writer uses the word joy. So when we struggle, whether it's from your own sin, whether it's from you following God, number three, hey, seek God. Seek God. Seek God in this way. Say you was down in Hapuna Beach. How many of you ever been to Hapuna Beach? Okay, and say that somehow your car keys got lost in the sand. It's the only sand. Seek God like you're looking for your car keys in the sand. What are you going to do? Oh, forget about it. Look, look. No, you're going to dig, search, and do everything you can to find it. Seek God in that way. Keep looking and looking and searching. 1 Samuel 36. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Would you underline that? David strengthened himself in the Lord. What was happening here? David and his mighty men, they went out and they were doing raids all over. They were living in the village of Ziklag. And while they were going away, they turned back and they seen their village burning with fire. And when they went back, somebody had raided his village, took away all their wives, all their children, all their livestock, all their money, everything. They got plundered. So the people, his men, his very own men, spoke of stoning him. He was distressed. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. How many of you, man, when you distress, you find your strength in something other than God? How many of you used to find your strength in booze or drugs or other things, fishing or shopping? How many of you do that? Shopping. You know, when you distress, you go shopping or you eat chocolate. Yeah? I do all of those. 1 Samuel 36, that is like my go-to scripture when I feel overwhelmed, tired, helpless. There is no other words for it. I go to this scripture and I go to that last sentence and I say, I put my name there. Scott strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. When I get stressed out, when I get problems, when I get attacked, when I feel beat down and like the devil is just tilting that meter, I go to this one. And I go hang out with God. And I cry and I talk to him. And this is it. This is what I do when I'm stressed out. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying. How many of you are getting old and your outer man is decaying? Yes. Those of you young ones, you don't know what is that yet. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Verse 17. For momentary light affliction is producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, you know, when we're battling, it is so, so easy to lose heart, to give up, and to throw in the towel. Because sometimes the devil, he seems like relentless in attacking us. I mean, like if you ever went surfing, I did, even if I cannot swim, okay? I admit, Grant scolds me for that. If you went surfing and you got slammed by one wave and you're tumbling and you don't know which way is up, you finally figure it out, and you finally pop your head out of the water only to get slammed by another wave and go tumbling and tumbling and tumbling again. That's what it can feel like when the devil attacks you. It's relentless. It's relentless. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, knew well the trials that happened in life. In 2 Corinthians 11:24, he says, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Okay, not eyelashes, okay? Not eyelashes. Lashes meaning he got whipped. Not with eyelashes, okay? He got whipped with, you know, leather. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. No laugh. Just because we're in Pune, no laugh. Not that kind. With rocks, okay? Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I spent in the deep. So he went through it all. He was imprisoned, run out of towns for preaching Jesus. If anything, he was the one who would have wanted to call it quits. But you know, thank God he didn't, because he wrote most of the New Testament. While we're getting pummeled on the outside, the inside is being built up, renewed, day by day. So we're going to face trials, struggles, whether it'll be relational, whether it be with our health, whether it be financial. You know, we're going to have all these struggles. Look where it's coming from. If it's coming from me buying too many fishing supplies and tools, then I need to repent. I need to stop. If it's coming from me following God, then I need to like silently like, wow, I'm on the right track. Because the devil doesn't want me to grow. He's attacking me. And in all of those things, always, 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 look to God. Look to God and ask him, what do I need to learn so I can learn it fast and get out of that trial? But the faster you get out of it, the sooner the next one comes. You know that, right? You know, when we're in the valley, we get to the mountaintop doesn't last very long, but I tell you what, we don't learn too much on the mountaintop. We learn when we're down in the valley. And then we go back up, we go back down, and that's life. But the more you can trust in God, the more you'll get out of it, the faster you'll get out of it, and the better you will be. Amen? We're going to continue this next week. But I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I'm going to ask you to, if you need Jesus in your life, maybe you're struggling. Maybe you even struggled to get here. Maybe the enemy attacked you so that you wouldn't come, but you made it anyway. But if you are struggling, maybe you need to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. So if we're not saved, then our destination is not going to, when we die, it's not going to be a good thing. We want, our mission is to get people saved and discipled and trained so that they can go out and reach more. So if you're not saved, you never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that chance right now. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if anybody prayed that prayer here, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you over there, God bless you back there. Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. And all these people said yes. They want a relationship with you. Lord, I pray for each one who said yes this morning, that you would fill them with your spirit, that you would guide them, that you would lead them. Let them know how much you love them, that you died for them. And I pray, Lord, that you would use this fellowship to help them grow in their walk with you. We thank you for each one who said yes this morning. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, if you said yes, if you need a Bible, we have some yes booklets over there. Somebody can go look for the yes booklets. Please take one of these booklets. Whether you said yes today or before, grab one of these booklets because it'll explain more in detail what you just did by asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. It'll help you in your walk with him. We're going to continue this when you struggle next week. We're going to have part two. So I hope that you will be back to join us. In the meantime, we're going to sing. So I'd ask that you would stand and join us as we close out this service with some songs of praise to God.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in KL, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we are recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.